6 minutes after 2 o'clock, and back again. I want to thank Steve Wolberg. By the way, coming up next hour, Neil van Nostrand talking about how right now we're watching birds falling out of the sky. He says, but there's going to be more and more earthquakes, landslides, hurricanes. And he said, that's just the tip of the iceberg. More and more birds and fish are dead, too. This will be interesting. I just bring this stuff to you. You figure it out. After that, you're on your own. Pretty much. That'll be coming up next hour. And we'll do a brief segment with John Smith about no filing a patent. Then we're going to do our little thing about what to do with Huck Finn. That'll be on our poll tonight, too. However, we're going to join up with a lady who's written a book about the history of Hollywood, Galen Whitley Keith. Galen, good morning.
Good morning, Rick. So good to be on your show.
Well, thank you so kindly. You were raised in Manhattan Beach.
I was. Beautiful Manhattan Beach, right by the ocean.
I know it very well. Although I got to tell you, I spend my time down in Hermosa all the time.
Well, it's next door neighbors.
Indeed you are. In fact, you can't tell where the strand ends up in Manhattan. You know, am I in Manhattan Beach? Yes, you are. So,
right, it's beautiful.
Yeah, I like the restaurants in Manhattan Beach.
I do too.
Yeah, I must confess that Manhattan has better restaurants than Hermosa.
But it does.
Hermosa's got better bars. So
I probably have it all.
Oh, yeah.
I love the pier, too, everything.
It does have the pier. Yeah, I like the pier. I used to go to the pier. There's one in Hermosa, of course.
Right.
And there's one in Manhattan. I like the one in Manhattan better because, you know, you can walk the streets of Manhattan Beach at 3 o'clock in the morning and nobody bothers you.
That is true.
No, that is true. So, and then you can walk out on the pier and feel the waves banging against those pilings.
Right.
Yeah.
Smell the ocean. It's got such a good smell.
I love it at night when you get just the right size of surf where it booms, when it hits the sand, you can hear that boom.
Right. And if you're lucky, the Grunion Run too.
Is that,
another topic.
Is that right?
If you're lucky, they're down there. You catch that too.
Yeah, that and snipes. First of all, have you seen the movie? Was it the Movie Channel's doing Movie Stars and Moguls?
I have not seen it, but I probably know more than they do, because my great grandfather was the founder of Hollywood,
Mr. Johnstone.
Mr. Hobart Johnstone Whitley. He went by H.J. Is really what he went by, but if I can tell you this, probably some, well, actually everybody probably wonders how it got named and all about the founding, but there's really not too much written about it up until now.
Well, it's the one thing that the United States' culture, not necessarily, you know, the United States, but our culture has given the world is our movies. Our movie production is bar none the best. Now, what about all those art films made in France? I couldn't care less. Don't get me wrong.
I don't like reading subtitles.
Yeah, I couldn't care less. I mean, I don't want to see them dubbed. But no, I mean, American movies are, you know, they're loved everywhere. You know, they may not like us, but they love our films.
They do.
Sure they do. It's the glamour. It's the drama, the comedy itself. You know, Max Sennett and some of the people of the early days of Hollywood. Shall we begin way back at the turn of the century, the last century, because that's really where things began to happen.
Right. He arrived there in the 1880s, and when he arrived there, it was really called Cahuenga, because it hadn't been named yet. Mm-hmm. And if it wasn't for a Chinese man, Hollywood would have never been Hollywood.
Well, we're talking about the land developer, the guy that put the sign up there, Hollywood Land.
No, before that.
Before that?
Well, actually, he did have an influence on that, but we're actually before the Hollywood sign. We're back in 1886 when there's
only... Well, that was long before the development, yeah.
No, but I'm saying, we'll go back to the naming of Hollywood. In 1886, my great-grandparents were on their honeymoon, and they rode out on horses to the hill, which would be the 500 acres that would run from La Brea to Cahuenga. So if the center of it would be where the Kodak Theater currently is today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's Hollywood and Highland. And they're up on the hill there, and they get off their horses, and a Chinese man comes along in a wagon. And he gets out, and he bows to them because they're standing there. My great-grandfather says, "What are you doing?" And luckily, the Chinese man spoke a little English, and he says, "Up early, work hard, Hollywood," because he had a wagon of wood.
Hollywood, huh?
And my great-grandfather said, "Well, that's what I'm going to name the town, Hollywood." He had an epiphany, and Hollywood represent his British roots. And I guess a lot of towns in Scotland, he was Scottish too, end in the word wood, and that'll represent Scotland, and there you go. That's how Hollywood was created.
Well,
kind of strange story, but that's true.
Well, no, I believe you. But I know that when they put the sign up, it was because of a land development.
But there was a sign before that sign.
Before the Hollywood land sign?
Before the Hollywood land sign,
a lot of people don't know that there was L-A-N-D at the end of that.
Right, they don't. But see, what happened is originally there was a sign called Whitley Heights, and it was the first lit sign in Hollywood, and obviously it was H.J. Whitley who put up the first sign. If you look at, well, for people that look at the cover of the book, you'll see there's an H up on the very top corner. The first H in Hollywoodland is being put up. What happened was my great-grandfather put in the first electricity into Hollywood, and he put up the first sign, and it could be seen from Wilshire. And he told Harry Chandler, who was his business partner, you should do the same thing if your land's not selling. So they put up a sign that said Hollywood Land, and it was supposed to only be there a year to sell land, and lo and behold, it's still there.
Yeah, they just took down the L-A-N-D. What was the story of taking down the L-A-N-D, by the way?
I think the whole sign was falling down, and they needed to repair it, and probably it was less expensive if you dumped the land.
And it's been that way ever since.
Right, and I think also they sold all the land.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure they did.
So
yeah.
They didn't need to do it. And Hollywood, because the movies became famous, the name Hollywood did, not Hollywood land so much, so they just go, psh, get rid of the land.
Well, and you know, it's amazing because a lot of the, because when they, there used to be, when films were being made, they were initially the film companies, the production companies, which were very small, a lot of them were being shot back east. And then everybody went down to Southern California because of the weather and because of the environment was perfect for outdoor shooting. I mean, the weather was good, and they had all kinds of different scenarios, outdoor scenes. And when they started shooting L.A., early L.A., Hollywood was there in the sign. You could see it.
It was, but actually actually the first movie, the 100th anniversary, is about to occur. On October 26, 1911, the first Hollywood studio to film in Hollywood filmed on the Whitley Estate. The movie was filmed by the Horsley Brothers and Al Christie, and they formed Nestor Company. And eventually they evolved into Universal Studios. And what happened was one of the Horsley brothers was walking down Hollywood Boulevard and ran into into H.J., and he asked him for some directions. And my great-grandfather was a good businessman, and instead of just saying, "Go down that way," he walked back with him and showed him what he was looking for and suggested he try filming on his land after they had a conversation about, like, what they were doing and why he was there. And then he suggested they rent this building, and he sold him some land. And lo and behold, the first studio came to Hollywood.
And the first studio was which? As a planned studio?
Nestor. Nestor Films came. It was in the Blondeau Tavern is where they rented. But they didn't really need a studio. Like you said, everything was filmed outdoors.
Yeah.
And it was kind of fun really long ago. You didn't have to learn your lines. You just got up in the morning. If it was sunny, you went to wherever the set was, and the director told you, smile, frown, cry, jump, run. And he just sort of directed the whole film. You didn't really have to know your part.
They were silent, too, weren't they?
Well, they were silent,
sure, yeah.
Well, the director could say, run, jump, whatever.
Yeah. And do you have a list of some of the people who actually came out and started setting up? Because these characters were fascinating people, these creators of what became Hollywood.
Right. Well, actually, in Whitley Heights, my great-grandfather developed Whitley Heights. It's on the National Registry, and the houses will never be torn down. And like Rudolph Valentino lived there, Charlie Chaplin lived there, all the directors. And pretty much when you took a tour in the 20s, you know, like the map of the stars' home, they lived in Whitley Heights on the hill.
Up in the hill,
Yeah, so it was pretty much a cavalcade of all the famous stars lived in Hollywood. Eventually, I guess they moved down to Beverly Hills, but in the beginning, they were all in Hollywood. Because actually, Hollywood was kind of a unique town. It had electricity, it had indoor plumbing, it had the red car.
That's right, they did have the red car. The red car ran down what is now the Strand.
Right,
yeah.
It did.
Yeah, all those little areas where they have the, now their public restrooms there along the Strand.
Yeah.
No, wait a minute. No, I have a friend of mine whose family, he grew up there in Southern California and been there, well, so is his family. And that used to be where the red car stopped. Those were red car stops.
Right.
Yeah. So they actually, those buildings actually had predecessors. So the red car ran up and down the Strand, which is cool.
It is, and it was a pretty cool system for mass transit because you paid like a nickel.
Yeah.
You could get on and off. You know, unfortunately, I think the car industry said, let's tear those up.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we all want to have cars.
Yeah, well, what is it called? The rubber and oil companies. Hold on a second, if you will, Galen. We're going to take a commercial break, but stay there.
Sure.
303-713-8585, the number, as we continue with Galen Whitley Keith, the father of Hollywood, her great-grandfather, H.J. Whitley, and we're going to talk about some more about how all of this happened and who was who in the history of Hollywood. 17 and a half after 2 o'clock, 303-713-8585, the number, as we continue on News Radio 850 KOA. Yeah, they may be Swedish, but they know how to say chiquitita. Yeah. You can never tell that they're Swedes. Who? They are. I think they live in Oslo. Is it Oslo? I'm not sure. 34 degrees out there right now. Not bad. It's not freezing, thankfully. But we expect today is going to be actually a perfect day. Well, perfect is a relative term this late in the... Well, here we are, January. You know, but here we are in the middle of winter. But we're going to have temps in the mid-50s. Lots of sunshine. It's not a bad thing. Abundant sunshine, highs about 55. All right, that's right now, though. Oh, it's dropped down one whole degree while we were talking there. Now it is freezing. So there. 303-713-8585, the number. So what's the weather like where you are right now?
The weather's probably in about the 50s, 40s, something like that. We're a little warmer. It's nicer.
Well, we live in the Rockies.
Right.
Yeah. If you were up by Tahoe, you wouldn't be able to get there from here. So.
Well, that's true. Mm-hmm. Tahoe's been blizzardy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. It is pretty up there. I do like Tahoe. Let's see. First of all, let's go to James in Longview, Texas. James, you're on with Galen Whitley Keith. Good morning.
Well, good morning. Anyhow, I've been hearing your discussion. I was just wanting to ask you, do you think that Western movies, or maybe I should paraphrase that by saying pioneer movies, do you think they'll make a comeback? I know we have a current remake of True Grit, and they're talking a remake of the TV show The Big Valley as a movie, but oddly I hear it's being filmed in Louisiana, and I'm just kind of wondering what H.J. Whitley would say. And you mentioned his business partner, Harry Chandler. Back then, I think there was kind of a marriage between newspapers, radio, and film to market movies and build Hollywood. Do you think that kind of building block still exists in Hollywood, or is the gang outsourced?
Wow.
Well, I think partly the tax breaks in California haven't been so good for keeping everybody here.
Well, they all shoot in Vancouver.
I know the the Hollywood Chamber's working on trying to get some tax incentives to keep people here.
Yeah.
But I do think now with the country western music being so big, there will be a revival of westerns.
Mm-hmm.
And people like westerns.
Yeah.
In fact, that's really how Hollywood started. When it began, there were still horses because the car wasn't that prevalent. So they had like Gower Gulch where you could go down the street and just see the cowboys waiting to be extras.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, my great-grandfather, because cowboy movies were so good for advertising, he developed 48,000 acres in the San Fernando Valley and lots of other things besides Hollywood. And so he had like Universal come out and shoot. In fact, long ago, if you'd bring your picnic lunch and you were a beautiful girl, they'd let you be an extra and you could dance with the cowboys in the movie. So maybe they'll go back to that.
Let's hope so.
That would be a good incentive.
Did your great-grandfather tend to build quite a few business relationships along the way in addition to Harry Chandler? I mean,
He did. The men he had with were not so much in the movie industry, but he did have a conglomerate of really five business partners, and they went around developing and buying, like, say, 48,000 acres. They developed Van Nuys, Reseda, Canoga Park, if you know California, as an example, which is big towns now. So actually, before he got to Hollywood, he'd already developed 100 towns.
Really?
Along the railroad. He worked for the Chicago Rock Island.
Mm-hmm.
So he was quite a man. He did the Oklahoma Run. He did all kinds of things.
Sounds interesting. Well, thank you again.
All right. Thanks so much. And let's go now to line number one, Randy.
Hey, good morning, Rex.
And you're going to ask about F. Scott Fitzgerald?
Yeah, but I also wanted to ask about Chinatown. Your guest?
Yes.
What was your... I forgot, it's Whitney, right?
I'm H.G. Whitley, but Chinatown's a fictional story.
Okay.
So he doesn't really have anything to do with the movie Chinatown.
So water doesn't really matter.
Well, water did matter.
Oh, it was a big part of the story.
The Chinatown story. What?
But anyway, did you ever hear much about Lady Irvine?
No, I did not.
Because are you familiar with Chapman College?
Yes.
I went there in 1969 and 70, and I got involved in, you know, being a kid out there. And Fashion Island, we used to go there and see movies like Bob Carroll, Ted and Alice, and go to the Crab Cooker in Newport Beach. But Lady Irvine apparently haunts that whole part of the world.
Wow.
What do you mean?
Yeah, and that's what I heard. I'm kind of there's a guy in Chicago I've been working with that's got a radio show. And he's a ghost hunter, and he takes people down to New Orleans. He's a friend of my friend Evelyn Basile, and his name's Richard Crow.
Do you have a question concerning what we're talking about?
Because of the Day of the Locust, that Karen Black movie.
Yeah.
And F. Scott Fitzgerald, I always really liked his writing. And my big experience ended up being New York. I'm from Denver, but I tried San Francisco when I got out of college, and it was a little bit intimidating. But New York was a blast, and I got involved in that sort of flappers and philosophers group that F. Scott Fitzgerald wrote about. And he was such a profound writer, you know, as soon as he wrote The Side of Paradise. And
yeah, do you have a question having to do with the
what
topic?
What happened to him? Because your grandfather would have been around then. What happens to an F. Scott Fitzgerald in a place like Hollywood?
Well, I think he has...
The Last Tycoon, I'm sure you read it.
Right. I think F. Scott Fitzgerald's problem was he maybe drank a little too much.
A little.
And so I think by the time he got to Hollywood, it was...
But the class thing, you know, the class warfare with his first wife was insane.
Right.
And then he married the British lady that was from the wrong side of the tracks. And he was really, I think, a pretty good heart. But they put him into one of those little bitty, like, you know, places and said, write, write, write. And he just, you know.
Well, that's what Ernest Hemingway did, along with drink, drink, drink.
Right.
All right. Very good, Randy. Thank you. Well, we just took a geographical tour there for a moment. I'm not sure.
That's okay.
What?
That's life.
I expect we're going to end up at the round table at the Algonquin. Hold on. We're going to take a quick break. We'll pick it up with Galen Whitley Keith, raised in Manhattan Beach, and talks about her great-granddad, right?
It's my great-granddad, yeah.
Yeah, right. You know, who actually was the guy who helped to make Hollywood the place that became Hollywood. So we'll talk about some of the other people that he had, how he managed to, having to do with make the creation of the actual studio lots, which must have been something all by itself, because they're factories. They really were. And I bet he sold some of that land, didn't he?
He did.
I'll bet
yeah,
he
Paramount's
did. All right.
There,
well,
yeah.
Don't screw up a promo.
Oh.
Hold on. Stay there. We'll be right back. As we continue, 303-713-8585, the number. Back again with Galen Whitley Keith, talking about a great-granddad, the guy who effectively created Hollywood, the father of Hollywood. By the way, the Whitley Hills, or Whitley Heights, that is, as I recall, you say that there were orange groves and eucalyptus trees. Is that right?
That's correct. Lemons, there was farms, strawberry fields. That's all there was when they moved there. Like, I have a picture of it. It's just farms, probably like 14. You could look out over the hill and see a few. Actually, he bought the land right there, the 500 acres, for $22,000 in gold. Wouldn't you like to do that today?
Oh yeah,
500 acres for $22,000, the heart of Hollywood.
Yeah, right. Now when the moguls started coming out, they were young men, by the way, you know, the Warner Brothers and, you know, some of the other people who created, you know, those wonderful studios. Between Studio City and, of course, the studios which are right there in Hollywood or right next to it, was he the guy that helped to sell that property to get it going?
He was, in fact, the pass through the Cahuenga Hills. He actually put in Sunset Boulevard too.
Right.
So he developed kind of the whole area, helped sell it. In fact, he was the first telemarketer probably in the world. He, when he was selling the San Fernando Valley, and he actually built there because the extras and people that were the lower working level pay could live there in the cheaper land, and then over the hill was Hollywood, where all the directors and movie stars and producers lived.
Mm-hmm.
And so he hired the Los Angeles, because there used to be operators, you know, you used to dial your O and you got an operator.
Yeah, and they put the plug it in and they hook you up.
Right, and so he hired the operator school to call everyone that lived in Los Angeles to come to a big barbecue in the San Fernando Valley.
Wow.
And that's how he sold it. So he did all kinds of, I mean, when they had this big barbecue, you know what the exciting thing was? A race between a car and an automobile.
Huh.
Yeah, so it was the things that are exciting now. The world really since the, 1900s, the big thing was a zipper. Was developed.
Well, there
it
is.
Look at us now.
Well, there it is.
So it really changed. So but one of the things he did that you may not know is he built the Hollywood Hotel. He did that because when people came out, they needed somewhere to stay before they built their home. And in the Hollywood Hotel is where he sold the movie stars and the directors land, and then he housed them in his hotel.
Until,
pretty good business deal. But the exciting thing was, because a lot of the silent movie stars lived in the hotel for a period of time, in the dining room, they began to have, like, certain seats they sat at. So what they did is, on the ceiling, they painted stars with the name of the star that sat at the table. Well, when the hotel was torn down, they didn't know how to preserve that. So guess what developed? The Hollywood Walk of Fame. The stars were put into the cement.
Oh, yeah.
And so that's kind of how the Walk of Fame was developed.
So he was the guy that created the Hollywood Hotel, where all the action begins when visiting Hollywood.
Right.
Yeah.
And at this point, the Hollywood Hotel's been torn down, and now it's the Kodak Theater. And when you come to Hollywood now, there's something exciting new at Hollywood. It's a show by Cirque du Soleil, and the theme of it's Hollywood. It's just opening, like, right now in January. So if you're out here, you can come see Cirque du Soleil. We have it.
I see.
You don't have to go to Las Vegas.
No!
No, so Hollywood's really trying to kind of upscale itself.
Hollywood's trying to upscale itself?
Right, even more.
My goodness.
Right, there's a lot of new hotels. In fact, the W Hotel there has a new drink. It's the H.J. Whitley drink.
Oh, my.
Although I haven't really had it yet.
I was going to say, what is
made
it?
Of.
I want to know.
I knew that you'd ask that, and I thought, why did I say this?
I want one.
Yeah, so I thought I'm going to go down and order one someday, just go in and have a drink and go, I want the H.J. Whitley.
Yeah, well, that sounds like a good idea. I'd like to try that myself. Yeah. Beats a Shirley Temple, I got to tell you.
Right.
So, and I'm trying to think that area, Hollywood and Vine, of course, is famous, and of course now, you know, it's become kind of it was kind of on its heels there for a while.
Right. It kind of, could have been called Prostitute Row, maybe. But it's cleaned up a lot, I think, and they're trying to clean it up more and bring in more business and things like that.
Well, you know, some of those older restaurants. I'm thinking about the ones that were on Sunset, for instance. Was it the Brown Derby? And Ciro's? Ciro's was on.
Right.
Yeah, right.
They're not there any longer.
No, I know.
But Musso and Frank's is still there.
Musso and Frank's is still there.
Right, and I don't know if you've been there lately, but it's still got kind of the same menu.
It's got the same everything.
Right, and the Pig and Whistle is back in. It had left and came back, and it was kind of nice because they kind of covered all the ceiling, and the new owners kind of took off the ceiling and put it back up, and there's all this carved wood, and it looks really quite nice. And
yeah,
the food's good.
Well, whenever I'm there, I have a friend of mine, and he and his dad, and they grew up there in L.A., and we always go end up having dinner at Musso and Frank's.
Right, it's still the same.
Yeah, it is still the same. And by the way, they still have the waiters dressed in black tie.
Right, and Charlie Chaplin and all of them used to be there. they have the Charlie Chaplin table. If you go in and ask them, the waiters have all been there. They can give you a little history if you're visiting out of town and come to Hollywood. They like sharing all that stuff with all of us.
Yeah, well, I mean, it really is quite the place. So many people have eaten there. I mean, Manny, one of the waiters, Manny, he's still he was there since 1974. I still think he's still there.
Right. Yeah. There's loyalty.
Yeah.
In the restaurant.
Yeah. I mean, that's it is still a great restaurant, and the food is incredible.
Right.
So I mean, this is not a spot for Musso and Frank's. It just happens to be the last of a breed. So if you want to see old Hollywood, that's one of the places you want to go see old Hollywood, because it's still there.
Right, another exciting spot, I always loved as a child, was going to Grauman's Chinese.
Oh, yes.
And my great-grandmother traveled to China before before the theater was built. And she was friends with Rosa Grauman, which was Sid Grauman's mother.
Mm-hmm.
And they would dine, and my grandparents, my grandfather was more Sid's age, and then my great-grandmother was Rosa, his mother's age, and they were out eating one day and discussing her trip to China, and she always attributes his building, the Grauman Chinese, to her telling him about how wonderful China was. Because I don't know if you know this about the Grauman Chinese, but he actually imported actual national treasures from China.
Uh-huh.
And they're actual real. He didn't duplicate them. He
brought the real thing.
He brought the real thing.
I'm just wondering how the Chinese felt about that.
Well, back then, if he paid, I think they like it. I don't know about now.
Yeah,
But.
And for those who want to look at, you know, all the footprints and the names and all that jazz.
Right, and I don't know. I remember as a child going there and you put your handprint and go, oh, my hand's the same size. It's still fun to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, John Wayne's footprints are really small. He's such a tall man, you wonder.
How did he make such great westerns with such little feet?
Right. Really, he does. He has smaller feet than I have, I think.
Yeah, I mean, and I've heard that actually said. I mean, exactly that line. How did they make those movies with those little feet? So a lot of people think that's a joke. No, that's not a joke. And you can put your handprints down and the footprints, and boy, it is surprising.
Right, and they did. I don't know if you've been there lately, but they used to have a lot of actors there out in the front, like Star Wars actors.
Oh, yeah.
You know, costumes.
And costumes, yeah.
And they found out they started running fingerprints because some of them had records.
Yeah.
And so they've cleaned up all the ones that shouldn't be there, so it's...
Well, I know. They still have them hanging out there in the front.
Well, they do, but not the ones with the records.
Well, that's as far as we know. That's right. Hold on.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, right. Let me see your hands. All right, hold on. Galen Whitley Keith, the father of Hollywood, her great-granddad, as we continue on News Radio 850 KOA. Thing in ATV. Anyway, yeah, I used to do that way back when in college, between 10 and bar, playing drums in a rock band with hair down to my shoulders. Mamma mia, indeed. 303-713-8585, the number. Back again with Galen Whitley Keith, the father of Hollywood, her great-granddad, who knew Edmund Mulholland, the guy who brought water to L.A. Basin.
Right, it's kind of interesting, actually. Originally, like, the San Fernando Valley was going to be its own cities, mm-hmm. but with all the water problem, although it wasn't really like the movie exactly, Chinatown. But
no, it was based on the character, the real person, though.
Right, but what happened was actually Teddy Roosevelt, who my great-grandfather was friends with, saw the water dealers, not necessarily Mulholland, but some of them in the valley, wanting to kind of cheat the landowners with exorbitant rates, gave the rights to the city of L.A. And so Hollywood at one time was its own city, and so was most of the valley, and they all became part of the city of L.A. so they could have water.
Yeah. Now, L.A. is the city and county of L.A.
Right.
If you're in the basin, which is, by the way, there must be, what, how many, 25 towns all jammed together in the basin? Including Los Angeles downtown.
I would think so, yeah, at least.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And people say, well, is it in the county? Yeah, they're in the county. L.A. County. L.A. is the county and the city, but also everybody else is kind of in that, I guess, what, L.A. County.
Right, but like the Hollywood was a city, and during that time to get water, they became part of Los Angeles. They're really not a city any longer, Hollywood.
Well. They're I guess, incorporated into L.A. County, L.A. City.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so I think at this point they kind of want to be, I guess, like Manhattan's kind of its own little island. I think Hollywood would like to be its own little island.
And a lot of people would, too.
But it's not.
Given enough time with the way water's coming up.
Right.
Yeah, you talked about the valley, which, by the way, is kind of fun. The San Fernando Valley, and anybody who's ever driven over the 405, which is or over the Sepulveda Cut, you can actually see both sides. You can see L.A. on one side and the Valley on the other side. And they are distinct, are they not?
They are. They've kind of just developed in their... Well, it's kind of... I think at the time they were built, there were still horses, and the hill was more to travel, and so they kind of developed their own ways.
Yeah.
And with their own style. And, I mean, that's one of the other things Hollywood had that was that my great-grandfather kind of changed. Originally, when he started building in Hollywood, it was the Victorian home.
Yeah.
And what he did is he changed to hillside Mediterranean homes. He sent his architect over to Europe,
Yeah. Had
him study, and came back, which is quite a feat because they didn't have tractors. I have pictures of people with horses and little shovels.
Let me ask you something. Whose idea was it to start building on the hillsides?
It was my great-grandfather's
was
idea.
Was it not?
Yeah, it was his idea.
I think Laurel Canyon. I was with a friend of mine. It was his wedding party, or, you know, it was a bachelor party. And it was way up off Laurel. And I mean, when I say up, I mean up. You had to climb up and up and up and up. And there's this house is stuck on a knife edge. And if you look out off the porch, the veranda, you look straight down, and these tiny little ant cars are driving down Laurel up Canyon. And I'm thinking, who in the name of all that's crazy would build like this?
Well, my great-grandfather was a beginner. I don't know that he got quite up to your friend's house before he died.
Well, no, I mean, the thing is, was he responsible for that sort of thing?
Right. What he did, also, which was different, most homes you walk in and the family room's downstairs and the bedrooms are upstairs. On his hill, like depending where you were on Whitley Heights, he reversed it so the view would be better. The bedrooms were downstairs, and the family room to get, because you can see the ocean if you have the right spot on the Hollywood Hills.
Yeah.
It looks, and the weather, cooperates, and there's no smog.
Yeah. Well, that's not as bad as it used to be.
No, it has gotten better over the years.
Yeah, it has. Yeah, and you can actually see across the basin now. There was a time you couldn't.
Right. So I guess all the stuff we're doing is good.
What is it, Mount Wilson? Is it the observatory or?
Griffith Park Observatory.
Griffith Park.
In fact, actually what they did with the Hollywood sign that, you know, they just bought it or it was for sale and they were afraid they were going to lose it as a thing, and a lot of people pitched in and it was purchased and the land's being donated to Griffith Park. It's kind of attaching.
Oh. Is that to keep it there?
That's to keep it there, right. So the sign, because they were going to build homes on it for the view, I guess.
I heard somebody was actually going to, they were going to actually start developing, and there was even talk about taking the Hollywood sign down, and I think, are you kidding me?
Right, there was. It was like to the last hour. And actually, Hugh Hefner donated $1 million, which helped save it, like the last million, I think.
Who was the idiot that wanted to take that sign down? I'd like to know.
Well, I don't think it was an idiot. I think some company bought it from Howard Hughes a long time ago, land.
Yeah, but
they wanted money.
Yeah, I get that. But, I mean, there had to be somebody in that corporation that said, we'll take the sign down.
But, right. I don't know who that was.
I would love to know, because I'd like to have that person on my show.
And I'm not sure who that was, but he's probably hiding.
Oh, I would hope so.
Yeah.
What a moron. He obviously doesn't live in the area.
Right. No, they live back east, and they're going, money, 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 we've held it, and property's up in value. But then I think actually probably the saving grace was property started going down.
Yeah, actually.
And they go, well, hey, we'll get rid of it. And I think they also didn't want the negative publicity and
well, that's
everyone.
That's like taking down the Statue of Liberty so they can develop the island.
Right. Right. That would be horrible.
Yeah. I mean, people say, well, the Hollywood sign is not an American icon. On the contrary, it is.
Right. And so fortunately, now the chamber kind of oversees it and oversees the Walk of Fame. In fact, the Walk of Fame has, if you go to the chamber's website, they have sponsors, L'Oreal and, the vodka thing from Sweden.
Oh, Svedka?
Absolute.
Absolute. Okay.
Absolute is a sponsor, and they've donated money, and they're asking people to donate to make sure the Walk of Fame, like the stars, wear out because everyone walks on them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to get money to kind of keep upkeep and stuff, and so hopefully it's all in this fund, so now the sign will be taken care of. And
the walk
and actually,
will be.
In fact, if you've noticed, because the sign is a trademark now, when you watch movies, some movies used to have the sign there, and they don't because I think you have to pay to use the sign.
To whom do you pay this money?
You pay it to the chamber, and then it goes to the preservation of keeping the Hollywood sign because they have to have the lights on it and security. Remember, someone jumped off of it.
Oh, they were having that all the time at one time. Back in the 20s, I think, starlets were literally jumping off the sign.
Right, and so they need funds. You can't just... make it happen without any funding. So.
Yeah. If you want to jump off our sign, you have to pay.
You have to pay, yeah. Right. We don't want any blood to have to clean up unless you paid to have it cleaned up.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Yeah, by the way, your book is available.
Yes, it is.
How does one get a hold of this
Well,
this
it's tone? On Amazon. You can go to bookstores, or you can just go to thefatherofhollywood.com, and
okay.
You can purchase it from there. But one more thing. I'm trying to get my great-grandfather to the California Museum
cool.
Hall of Fame. So there's a link there you can click on and vote for him. Like, put in his name, H.J. Whitley.
Yeah.
Because this is the 100th anniversary of the first movie, so this is the year he should be put in the Hall of Fame because he's the reason Hollywood became Hollywood.
Yeah.
Well, without him...
There would be no Hollywood. It would be something else.
It would be Los Angeles or Burbank or something.
Yeah, or you know, God knows what.
Or New Jersey.
Or Encino.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, anyway. And he developed the very that it became... My agent was in Encino. He used to live in Encino.
Right, so yeah. We could be saying Encino instead of Hollywood.
Yeah, I was going to say, is it? Oh my God! Well, Galen, thanks so much. It's been a lot of fun.
Well, thank you so much, Rick.
And I'd love to.
I really enjoyed this.
Yeah, well, you know, anytime I talk about it, because the history of Hollywood is part of American history, culture. You know, and anybody who doesn't believe it doesn't understand anything about being Americans. So anyway, Galen, again, thanks so much for being with.
Thank you.
All right, thank
Bye-bye.
You. Bye bye. And it's called The Father of Hollywood, her great granddad, who literally. Along with Edmund Mulholland, created what is L.A., the Valley, and Hollywood. Otherwise, I wouldn't have a good movie to watch in the middle of the night. We'll be right back.